Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company, and we appreciate all the wonderful things you're doing for the community. That's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the American Federation of Government Employees and the United Steelworkers, and we appreciate their support very much. Joining me today, the man, well, the guy who gets the news out there, Doug Cunningham. Doug, welcome back.
Hey, Charles. Great to be with you, man.
Brother, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. What's some of the news of the day we should be looking at?
Well, there's an interesting lawsuit that's been filed down in North Carolina, and it was filed November 15th. FLOC, the Farm Labor Organizing Committee, and a coalition of civil rights groups have come together to file this lawsuit alleging that a law passed in North Carolina called the Farm Act of 2017 is actually violating farm workers' rights, First Amendment rights to participate in union organizing and union activity, and also other rights. And so the lawsuit was filed on behalf of FLOC and two members, and the Southern Poverty Law Center is involved, the American Civil Liberties Union, the North Carolina Justice Center, and private law offices also involved in this. And the whole point of the lawsuit, according to FLOC President Baldomar Velasquez, is this. He says that politicians are also growers and employers on farms, and they should not be passing self-serving laws simply because they don't want their workers to unionize. And he actually compared it, the FLOC president compared this to the continuation of Jim Crow era laws in the South, only this time it's aimed at an entirely Latino workforce, basically in North Carolina, and trying to prevent them from coming together and organizing in a union and improving their working conditions. He says more than 100,000 farm workers provide labor to North Carolina farms and are affected by this law that this lawsuit is challenging.
This is very interesting all the way around. What's the public perception of this?
Well, you know, it's not sure yet. It's just been filed. So you know, it's going to take a while, I think, for this to sink into the public that this is happening. And this is one of these things that happens and plays out in the judicial system and in the courts. So it's going to be interesting, though, because I think, you know, people will eventually take notice in North Carolina. And whether they agree with the lawsuit or not, they're going to have to come to grips with these issues. I mean, one of the statistics here is that supposedly these farm workers generate more than $12 billion. These North Carolina farms with these 100,000 farm workers generate more than $12 billion for the state economy. Some of these workers, many of them, are employed under the H-2A visa program. So that puts a federal element into this. The law bars farm worker unions from entering into agreements with employers to have union dues transferred from paychecks, for example. That's part of this, too. And many of FLOC's members down there are guest workers. And so there's a federal element here. There's a state element here. And the allegation is essentially that this law that was passed by the North Carolina legislature is just illegal, violating rights of all of these workers.
You know, it's amazing to me that one of the things that oftentimes these organizations and politicians go after is what you cannot have deducted from your paycheck. Now, it's my paycheck. It's not my employer's paycheck. It's my paycheck. And it doesn't belong to the politician. It doesn't belong to, you know, whoever. It's mine. And if I want my car payment or my house payment or my insurance payment or my alimony payment or whatever to include my dues payment taken out of my paycheck, that's my right. And any organization that is not willing to honor my paycheck or any organization that wants to tell me what I can do with my paycheck, quite honestly, can stick it in their ear.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, this goes to the heart of what a lot of folks who come on the Union Edge talk about, and to the heart of what I've been doing for 13 years reporting labor news, and that is workers have rights, and employers and businesses should not be the only ones who have rights when it comes to employing people. The people who are employed have to have some rights. And I think as American citizens, we have a feeling in this country that this is the land of the free, right? We all have rights This is not just a government by people. This is a government by law. And so, therefore, people need to have respect when it comes to the rights of working people, just like, you know, business owners demand respect for their particular rights. Working people have got to have rights. And the terms and conditions of your employment are among the most important things in your life as a working person. And so for you not to have a voice in that, and not to have a say in that, and not to have a real power in that means that essentially you're not really free, even though you're living in a country that professes to be free and has a Bill of Rights. So the most important thing that happens to a lot of working people and working families in this country is what happens at work. And for you to not have a voice at work means you don't really have a voice, in my opinion. It means you don't really have a voice in the democracy as a true free citizen of the country. So it's more than just whether or not you support unions or union rights. This goes to the heart of what all of our rights are as working Americans, working people in this country, all working people in this country.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Doug. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I can remember when President Obama was elected, or just prior to President Obama being elected the second time, you know, there were stories about bosses walking through the parking lot, looking at people's cars, finding out who's got an Obama sticker on the back of it, or, you know, or those people who were supporting the Affordable Care Act and saying, well, you know, I'm, you know, when I have to lay people off, those are the people I'm going to lay off. And they think that's acceptable. Okay. But when large numbers of people in the United States say, well, you know what, that's not acceptable, we don't like that, and because of that, we're going to boycott your product. Oh, well, no, you can't tell me what to do. You know, that's my freedom.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Well, the employees' freedoms?
And that's absolutely right, too. The employees have freedoms and have rights. And let's be clear, the employer, when they do things like that, walking through a parking lot to see what kind of political candidate sticker you might have on your bumper, that sort of thing, they are holding what essentially is a figurative gun to the head of their employees and their families, because the livelihood is everything for a working person. You know, we don't have investment income, by and large, that we're making money off of in big ways. We don't have other streams of income that are, and I'm talking about the average working person. You get your income through wages and through salary, and that comes from your employer. So anything that threatens that will really shake you as a person, and will really shake that family. And so if there's any indication from a boss that they're going to throw that weight around, that power over your livelihood, so that you are not any longer a free American, and every American has the right to support any political candidate and put that bumper sticker on the car, and that should not impact your livelihood. You know, you shouldn't pay a financial price for that. And so these are some of the fundamental questions when we talk about worker power. And we talk about the labor movement and how it gives workers power because they organize together collectively to get that power through their unions. That is important to our very democracy. It's not just about, oh, this special interest group called unions over here and we're supporting them. No, this is central to every right that every American ought to have, every person in this country ought to have. And that's really something that goes to the heart of the movement. That's something that goes to the heart of a lot of things that get discussed here on the Union Edge, and goes to the heart of a lot of what I've been reporting all these years as I talk to workers and their experiences around the country about what they've encountered. And you know, there's a situation here in New York where a worker just got fired. He was fired for organizing a union, trying to form a union, and he just won a $30,000 payout from his ex-employer, a man by the name of Irwin Espinoza, booted from his job at a company called Shreddit earlier this year, a Long Island company in New York. And this kind of thing happens around the country. When workers start to exercise their rights to form a union, they often do get fired. And they have to fight, in many right. cases, for a long time to get that money back or right. to get reinstated back, right? And imagine if your very right to vote, if that happened to you when you exercised your right to vote, if somebody with economic power over you punished you for the way you voted or stopped you from voting. You know, this
it
is
happens
what's happening
all the time in this country.
And yeah, and the violations, we can't accept that as Americans. We can't accept that in a democracy that professes to be home of the free, you know, and you know, home of the brave, land of the free, however you want to put those in what order. We're free and we're brave, right? We're supposed to have rights, and we're supposed to have a Bill of Rights, and not just in the Constitution enshrined under glass someplace where it doesn't matter, but in everyday situations on the job.
Absolutely. Doug, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it, and we look forward to talking to you again here soon.
Absolutely. Always a regular here, and I'll be back again and again, and we'll be continuing to discuss these issues. And I hope people out there are paying attention, and I urge them to support the Union Edge.
Thank you very much. Doug, we appreciate it. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.